Hey, Ben, what was your worst Valentine's present?
Well, I've never actually really gotten a Valentine's present, so I can't really say. So I guess a whole bunch of air was the worst one. It's also my best present that I've ever gotten. But I'll tell you one thing. If I liked berries, I'd be very happy if someone got me some Shari's berries. They are giant, freshly dipped strawberries from Shari's Berries, and they start at $19.99. That's over 40% savings. Or you can double it for $10 more. You just need to use the code WATCH when you order, and you can get these strawberries for like $20.
Here's the only way to get this amazing Valentine's Day deal. Giant freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 or double the berries for just $10 more. Visit berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and then type in watch. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone and type in watch. Order today. Don't leave someone like Ben lonely for one more Valentine's.
I can't.
Poor guy.
That's what Shaw's Vanderpump rules. Come gather round and make fun of his fools.
A podcast of Bravo. Nothing runs with Bravo.
When there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and as always, I'm here with the beautiful Ben Mandelker of B-Side Blog. Hello, Benjamina.
Oh, hello there. What kind words for you to say?
I know, right? I totally mean all of them.
Wow, you must be in the Valentine's Day spirit after our Shari's Berry ad.
Yeah, it's hard to shake that Shari's Berries thing off. And then get your car washed for an extra $4.
You know, Shari's Berry, it's funny, Shari's Berry isn't our only advertiser. I just want to say really quickly, as we start this podcast up, we've been pushing a promo code for GoDaddy.com, which is that if you use the promo code Crappens, you get like a domain for like $2 or $3. Well, people, guess what? All good things come to an end, and this promo code is ending, I think, in about a week. And after that, you are no longer getting a URL for $2 or $3. We're gonna have a new promo code we think that's coming through, and it's gonna be like 30% off, but that's much more expensive than $3. So everyone, act on it.
Yeah, get it and get your Bravo-based domain and enter our contest. Just email me at Ronnie@TrashTalkTV with whatever you bought, and we will build a little website for whoever gets the funniest one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get on with this. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. We're actually on there right now reading your comments throughout the show when we record. And it's a really good community to come laugh about stuff throughout the week. And we're also on Twitter at whatcrappens. You can find Ben at bsideblog.com and on every social media outlet at bsideblog. And I'm Ronnie Karam on Twitter or Trash Tweet TV. So there's that.
I'm so excited for this podcast, I have to say, this week, because we're really going to talk about the only two shows that are on my mind at the moment. And that's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Vanderpump Rules. And I have to thank whoever sent in the article. Let me see if I can find it. I think it was Cindy C, who posted a link on our Facebook page to Time Magazine. Time Magazine wrote an article about Vanderpump Rules, and they christened the show like the must-hate-see show on TV right now, and I couldn't agree more. And I'm just sort of been scanning through this article, skimming through it in the past few minutes, and what I really liked is that they used this phrase, the deeply unlikable Kristen Doubt. Deeply unlikable. Kristen, who Time Magazine has called deeply unlikable.
Well, she finally won something. She finally gave a performance that got some notice. You're a horrible horsey.
Oh, my goodness.
Horse face number one wins. So, okay, so last night was the Vanderpump Rules finale.
Yeah.
I was glad that Jax got pushed in a pool because he got a bath. And now every time I see Jax, I think of him as being really stinky and having terrible breath and never flossing, because that's what Tom said.
Well, you know what? First of all, this is a warning to anyone who stays at the Andaz in West Hollywood. Never swim in that pool again. There's no amount of chlorine that can fix that pool now. It has been contaminated. Someone has dropped nuclear waste in there, essentially. If nuclear waste could be a male model, it would be Jax.
Yeah. So is herpes like your period where everybody gets it at the same time? Because that restaurant is going to just have like one major sick week. Those people need to start working other places and spread that disease around. Get it out of that restaurant.
Yeah, well, I'm sure once Pump opens up, they'll be spreading it next door.
Oh, God. Well, you know, a gay bar, this kind of behavior would actually make sense.
Like, yeah.
And if this was taking place in a gay club, you would just expect that everybody's sleeping with everybody else's boyfriend and not feeling bad about it, because that's how we roll, but... Shame on you, straight people. Shame on you.
Absolutely.
You guys are all the heroes in the Bible. How dare you act like this?
So did you actually enjoy the season finale?
Yes, I really got into Vanderpump Rules this year because I learned how to watch it while I'm doing dishes or while I'm like cutting potatoes or something like that.
Like, so you feel like you're actually in the restaurant then?
Well, I feel like if I'm not just sitting there staring at it, it's not... I'm not wasting my life. You know, that's what really kills me. But if I'm actually doing something, you know, like helping needy children, grooming, I've taken to flossing, especially since that Jax revelation.
You sound like you're from Down Abbey. I've taken a flossing after dinner.
Yes, I floss after dinner now.
I have to say, well, one thing that I really enjoyed about the season finale was the amount of camera time that was devoted to poor little Tom's brain exploding inside his head. And, you know, the reason why his brain was exploding is because he still can't come to terms with the fact that his girlfriend may have slept with Jax. He doesn't know who to believe because for the majority of the episode, Kristen was still holding on to the lie, much like the season finale last season where Jax kept on saying that he didn't sleep with anyone else. And then in the last seconds, he told everyone at Sir that he did sleep with someone else. Same thing happened this week, this season finale, except with Kristen.
So is this, we all know that this shit's faked, but is it that faked? I mean, do you think they really boned?
I think they boned. Yeah, ew. For sure. They're not good enough actors to be able to cry on cue like that and act that way. I mean, if they could act like that, they would not be working at Sir or be on this show.
Oh, that's true. Okay, good point. So That was amazing. That was the biggest reveal because I honestly thought Stassi was sending those texts. I didn't know what to believe. They had me actually guessing. It was like watching Medium. I was like, is this all in her head? Is this real? Is that a ghost?
All they see are like visions of tequila, though.
So yes, that was an amazing revelation that she actually did have sex with Jax.
She's like, seriously, I had sex with him, and like, I've like ruined everything. Like, seriously. I came twice. Seriously?
Well, I love that she's still lying about it because she's like, I did sleep with him once. Well, what is it? Like, does that make it better? It doesn't make it better. So just get it all out there, because now next season's all going to be about how she did it twice.
Well, what's sort of shocking is that, you know, you watch this episode and you see Tom crying, trying to like get it all together, and his poor little brain is working, you know, overdrive, and all these, everyone's talking to him, saying this, saying that. Well, who's telling the truth? His girlfriend cheated, whatever. And then it comes out and you're like, oh, this poor guy. And then you sit back and you remember, oh, wait a second, he like had sex with some random chick in Vegas also. No sympathy for Tom, no sympathy for any of these people. They're all idiots. They should be thrown into a river and drowned.
Well, the best thing about Tom is when he gets upset, he's, you know, it's like you said, you're watching his brain like internally explode, but he's trying to come up with words. Yeah. And it's just hilarious to watch because it really does look like he's having a stroke. I know. And all he can come out with is like, you're like, I mean, I was like, because you were like, I was all man, like, and then like, I mean, what?
How do you feel no remorse? I mean, like I mean, I love like, her. I mean,
like, I was all like,
It's like he has bad reception. He's like a little crying skull too. It's like
when you've only got limited words, you just become a caveman again. Like is the new.
He's basically gone through only two lessons worth of English in Duolingo, so he can only say basic things like "man drinks water, woman likes water, water likes man, man
shave has face, dog. Face shave, hair gel."
He's like, Kristen.
So, don't you think it is a little grosser when a woman cheats? Let's be honest, you guys. It is kind of grosser when a woman cheats. I don't know why there's that double standard, I could understand him fucking a whore in Vegas because, I don't know, it's what guys do. You go to Vegas, you fuck a stripper. Like, who doesn't? But girls, your private parts when you're a girl, they're so, like, wet and, like, they're so wet and internal. I feel
like... All right, let me be a voice of reason here for a moment. Okay? I don't think it's grosser when a woman cheats on a man. I do think, you know, maybe it's more expected when a man does it, which, in that case, the double standard is that perhaps we have higher standards for women. Higher standards.
We should have higher standards for women. There are mothers.
But women, you know, I think women are just as capable of cheating.
As capable.
We probably burn them at the stake more. I mean, Hester Prynne had to wear that A around. Kristen's gonna have to wear a sign that just says seriously, and then another sign below it that it goes seriously.
that's too big of a word. She's just gonna have to have a penis stitched onto the front of her. With like a don't sign.
It'll just be a horse looking sad, like a horse. It'll be a picture of Barbaro, the dead horse.
Or they could just keep it as an A because that's the only alphabet letter they can remember. So, but yes, you're right. Women are just as capable as men of cheating, but they're also as capable as men at driving. And I mean, come on. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I don't know why there is that double standard, but for some reason, it didn't bug me that Tom... Also, because maybe I like Tom. I think he's nice. He seems like one of the only, nice people. So yeah. I was sad for him that he got cheated on. Kristen, I was, rooting for that to be true because I just wanted to see her get dumped. And she didn't even get dumped.
Well, I think here's why we are in Tom's corner. Okay, so he did something bad. He screwed around with some person, some lady, off in Vegas before the season even began. So that's already happened. It's already been dealt with, okay? And then we have to deal the whole season with this witch hunt, you know, of Kristen. Like, did you cheat? Did you cheat? Did you cheat? Did you cheat? And I think it's what makes it so awful is the hypocrisy that's happened in this. Is that she has been taking advantage of the situation. She has been roasting him for every single thing he does wrong. When in fact, she is also guilty.
Yes. That's true.
That, I think, is what makes people angry. And I understand, by the way, what makes all the girls angry, that they had to sit and listen to this for all this time when she's actually just as culpable in the situation.
Oh, she's worse. Okay,
she's deeply unlikable.
Yeah, he made out with that blonde girl in a pool in Vegas or something. Didn't he make out with her in Vegas too, Ariana?
That's a separate cheating incident. That was like a few years ago when they made out at the Golden Nugget.
At the Golden Nugget, right. That was the thing that Kristen was – that was the one that Kristen was going on all season about, was that he was cheating with Ariana.
Right, but she was going on about it because he had cheated already with some woman in Vegas.
Yeah, but she was mad that he made out with some chick, and meanwhile she went down on a herpes tree. Like, she climbed a herpes tree. She jumped into a herpes lake.
She basically put her face in a petri dish.
Yeah, I mean, I think
the petri dish all around her crotch.
Oh, by the way, I was reading today, someone told me to drink kefir because it's good for probiotics, and I looked it up, and it's made out of yeast and fermented milk. Like, seriously, stop suggesting that shit. That's not healthy. But yeah, that's Jackson's penis, basically. But yeah, I was thinking about that. You know what? I totally forgot. Kefir totally fucked up my train of thought. Thanks a lot, fermented milk.
Well, you know, fermented milk was Kristen's other nickname that we would have gone with had horse face been taken.
So I'm going to
call her Curdle. Curdle 1 and Curdle 2.
I'm going to make you guys a present today. When you come to, I guess, come to my website or Ben's, whatever, at Trash Talk TV when I post this tonight, I'm going to put a ringer, because someone just mentioned this in the comics. In the comments on Facebook, I'm going to put a ringer of Stassi going, "You're disgusting." So every time someone calls you, every time the bitchiest person in your life calls you, your phone will go, "You're disgusting. You're disgusting. You're disgusting." Bueller, did you just fuss? Because I called you disgusting. So I'll put that on today. Okay, so what else happened on
Vanderpump Rules? So a few things happened. So aside from the fact that we're in this, like, moral, you know, loop-de-loop with all these people, you also have Jax, who still continues to be totally unapologetic about the fact that he banged Kristen. And his whole logic, we sort of got a greater insight into his little brain. And his logic was that their relationship was basically, they were basically roommates. It was like, it was a glorified roommate situation. And that the woman had needs. And
you know what?
I think
this would be better if we were telling it like Alexia from The Real Housewives of Miami.
Oh, well, you know, Peter, like, you know, like, Peter just, you know, he sees a woman and, like, she, like, she's, like, not getting sex from her boyfriend. So, like, it's really, like, his responsibility to give her sex, you know?
Yeah, like, it's totally understandable because, you know, sometimes a car needs some gas in it. And so if Peter pulls off to the side and he puts his nozzle in a tank, you know, that makes him a good guy. He's not a bad guy. He was helping the car without gas, you know?
Yeah, he was being, like, nice. Like, this is, like, the, you know, this has been, it's been really hard for him, you know. Oh, well, you know, Peter, ever since, you know, Frankie, it's been hard. So, like, this is like his way of giving back to the community. Like, he punched an old man, so he's like, okay, so the way I make up for it is that, like, if I find a girl who needs to have sex, I'm gonna have sex with him. And that's the way he expresses himself.
Yeah, oh, you know, Peter, he's kind of psychic because, you know, my mom's a psychologist, and so he didn't want to become a psychologist, so he just took the psych part and became kind of psychic. And he knew that Paul Walker was gonna die in a car accident, and so he was trying to watch that movie about racing cars, but instead it got stuck on Drive, and it got so depressing that he needed a blowjob. And so he got it from that girl. And so, yeah, you know, you can't really blame him because he was really sad about Paul Walker, who turned out to be in a different movie that sounded like it.
Oh, well, you know, Peter, you know, he doesn't do very, very well with car accidents, you know, ever since Frankie, you know, like, oh, well, you know, Peter, he can't deal with them. So, like, when he thinks about Paul Walker, he's like, oh, gosh, like, you know, like, I'm very sad right now. And, like, I think it was very nice of that girl, Kristen, to give him a blowjob because that's what he needed right now, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, Peter, if Ryan Gosling was more like Paul Walker, then this wouldn't have happened.
Oh, well, you know, like, I don't know why people aren't, like, applauding Peter because, you know, like, he did a wonderful thing, you know?
Yeah, so Jax is a fucking sicko, basically.
He basically rationalized the whole thing. He's like, their relationship was basically a sham, and she needed some loving, and therefore that's where I stepped in, and I think I was doing a good thing. And that's so fucked up in so many different ways. Like, first of all, it's not up to him to decide if the relationship is a glorified roommate situation or not. Like, that's their relationship. And until they are broken up, it's not up for you to go in there in a predatory way.
Yeah, Jax is gross. And we've known that for a long time. And he's stinky, which we found out recently. But yeah. I didn't really know he was... I mean, when I think of douchebag, yeah, okay, he's a slut or whatever. But when I think of a douchebag, I don't think of him. I think of him as, like, a big dorky guy. But then in these last couple episodes, I was like, oh my God, there's the hidden douche. It's like that hidden dragon. Like, here it is.
Yeah.
When he's like, why should I feel bad? No, I don't feel bad. What do you want me to say, bro? What? You want a piece, bro? I'm like, really? So now you're going to start a fight with somebody after you fuck their girlfriend. Come on.
Yeah, I really don't understand why he's so unapologetic. It's so strange to me. I feel like he accidentally took that stance. Like, he sort of, like, forgot that Tom is his best friend or something, and he, like, took this unapologetic stance and then is now just sticking with it because he feels like he has to. Like, it just makes no sense.
Yeah. Oh, and Viviana's pointing out in the comments that when that whole fight erupted, he was yelling, "You came twice, sweetheart." Nice, Jax. Nice.
Yeah.
So finally Tom at least grew a pair and made Jax bleed, which was fun. You know, Bravo has shown us a lot of fights. Like, once Adriana hit somebody on Real Housewives of Miami, that opened a whole floodgate of trashy behavior that people were like, basically, we can beat each other up now on TV and we won't get fired. It's not like the old days of The Real World where you hit somebody and you're out of there. Now it's all bad girls club. So now every show has to have somebody getting waxed on national TV, getting their butthole bleached, or making someone else bleed. And I really love this, making him bleed. They took it up a notch.
I was actually happy with that because, first of all, the fight came out of nowhere. Basically, Tom and Kristen were standing over the group at Sheena's engagement party, and Tom is like, "Do you feel anything? Do you feel this?" And obviously, just like punches Jax right in the forehead, and there was like pandemonium. And then Jax had a bloody forehead, and I think he liked it.
But he was smiling. He's a fucking sicko. That was some sick shit, but it was really funny watching Sheena.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? And Lisa's like, darling, calm down. She's like, I just got my teeth fixed.
She's like, I just got my teeth fixed and someone pushed me over. Like, Sheena, like, your teeth are not in your elbow. If you get pushed, it's okay.
She probably showed up the next day to work with those gigantic glasses and crutches.
And, like, a neck brace. And crutches.
Yeah.
I need perfect vision so my mouth hurts less.
She's on, like, a little scooter. The Rascals.
Have you been able to hear her Muppet voice yet?
Crazy. Whenever she talks, I'm like,
Sheena from Azusa. And by the way, she performed her new future hit, Good as Gold, on the bar top with her trashy mom standing there in the crowd. And I was watching with our friend Michelle, and she was like, could you imagine like dancing like this in front of your mother?
I love that she's like completely singing off key with her track. That was hilarious. It was like the worst harmonizing with herself ever.
She's like, cause I'm good as gold.
A friend of mine was like, oh, that's catchy. I'm like, yeah, because it's one note repeated over and over. It's like a fucking ringtone. Like, you would recognize a siren outside because it's one sound droning over and over. It doesn't make it a good pop song. It's a fucking fire.
I think the song would be better if it were sung by an old Epson, like, print, like, dot matrix printer, you know? Like, that would be more musical than Sheena singing it.
Or like Robert Goulet. Good as gold. Hey! So, yeah, that was pretty embarrassing for Sheena.
And then, meanwhile, you had Stassi, who tried to make herself seem like she was the biggest victim of all this, you know?
Oh, my God. Best line of this show in history is... When are the good people going to come out on top? I'm a good person.
Really? Yeah. I'm like, well, as long as you're working in Sur, I think the good people have wound up on top.
Really?
As long as you stay there.
The drug addict girl from last year ended up getting in a Jennifer Aniston movie. She was like the only bearable person. And then what happened this year to the good people? Tom got to hit Jackson, and he ended up with a really smooth face.
Yeah, and Ariana, you know, she got to show up in casual sweatpants.
Ariana got to be on TV and didn't have to act like an asshole or sell her soul. Yeah. I mean, granted, it was her first season.
I know. Next season, she's going to be a disaster.
Yeah. Because they all turn. They all turn! Love Lisa. Love that Lisa is just such an out-of-control bitch on this show.
She's so weird because I love how she goes like, she's like, I really don't want to get involved, but tell me, what's going on?
And she's like, you're a pig. You're disgusting. Go apologize, Stassi. Go apologize. I mean it. So that's been a really fun season. I'm sad it's over, but I'm sure it's going to be back on in a month.
Oh, no, I can't wait. Well, we have the reunion next week. I can't wait for that.
Oh, my God. What happened to Stassi's hair in that reunion?
All of them. All their hair looks ridiculous.
Well, it's because they get paid so little, which I just love. I just love that Bravo is making them ruin their lives and still paying them $700 a week.
And that they're stuck waiting tables at this restaurant because the only way that they can maintain their fame is they're stuck at this menial job. That's the most amazing feat of this show.
Yeah, it really is.
But they can't take off. And in fact, Time Magazine, the article was saying something about how like the novelty of watching the Kardashians has really like fallen by the wayside because they've become so self-aware of their public persona that it's all super staged. But these kids don't have the chance to become super famous because they will still ultimately always be waiters. And if they try to like leave their waiting job, they will be off the show and their fame will evaporate. I think it's just wonderful.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, Kristen would have been gone at any other restaurant already.
Was she fired? I couldn't quite tell.
No, because Lisa said, if you quit, you're doing me a favor. But I don't think she answered her, did she?
Don't know. It was just like crying, and you know, she. I was distracted by her teeth.
I am reading a comment from Summer on our Facebook that said, last night on Watch What Happens, Andy asked Jax how he knew to play it off when Stassi texted him pretending to be Kristen.
Yeah.
Jax says, Kristen told me from this point on, assume Stassi will have my phone. Lisa says under her breath, they rehearsed it. What the hell? Damn this show for messing with me.
I can't believe how invested I am in all these stupid things.
Well, we could just go and ask them.
Yeah, we should just go. We'll put on hazmat suits and go ask them.
It can't be worse than anybody else. I mean, you know that people go... Like, when you see a real star, you're not supposed to go up to them. But if you see someone from Vanderpump Rules, you're totally allowed.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think any reality star, you're allowed to just go and ask them questions. That's what I found. So if you're walking around the streets in LA, if you see a movie star, you don't say anything. If you see a TV star, you generally don't say anything, but you could maybe... if you see a reality star, you can go up to them and ask any question and say anything you want.
If you see a reality star, you can ask them questions. You can wipe your nose on their sleeve.
You can literally do whatever. I've walked up to so many reality stars. They are so happy for the attention. Why do you think they got into this game in the first place? They just want the attention.
Yeah. They're so sad. So anybody, please feel free to tweet us or text us.
Yeah, and that includes podcasters. But also, like, Lisa Vanderpump, you could totally talk to her. Like, even though she's, like, classy, she's still a reality star.
Yeah. There's no rules. I think that should be put into the L.A. charter. Like, reality stars you can treat just as shitty as you treat everybody else.
Yeah. By the way, if you hear helicopters in the background, I think there's a manhunt going on outside.
Yeah, me too. There's something going on in the hood today.
Yeah, there's a murderer who I think he fled up to Runyon Canyon and then was seen in Hollywood.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, 100% true.
Well, I love that even murderers here are working out at Runyon Canyon. That place is just so popular.
I know. The murderer's like, when do the good people get out on top?
He's like, I better get a beautiful view of the sunset before I go to jail. So let's move on. Are we done with Vanderpoopers?
I think so. I mean, I probably have some other thoughts, but you know what? I'll just share them on Facebook if they come to me. I didn't take notes this week. That's why I'm like, I can't remember anything.
Well, if they come to you, just talk to them. Just say them out loud.
Here's all that everyone needs to know. Tom's brain was exploding all episode. Kristen lied. Seriously. Like, Stassi, for some reason, thinks that she is the one who is the biggest victim in all this and that she's a good person and that good people don't come out on top. Sheena is very concerned about the state of her teeth now that she's been shoved. And that's pretty much it, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I think so.
Stassi is right, though. Like, not that she's a good person, but she is right that she's always cheated on. Everyone's cheating on her all the time. Her best friends betray her, but you know why? It's because you're not a good person.
What does that say about you? Yes, yeah. Exactly. What does that say about you? You know what? If you honestly, I don't like blaming the victim, but sometimes if everyone cheats on you, then you are not a good person. And you know what? If your friends all like sleep with your boyfriends, etc., that means that your friends are not good people, and you shouldn't be hanging out with them. And the only reason why you're all hanging out together is because you're all awful, evil people.
Yeah, you're all bad. Okay, so let's move on to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Speaking of evil people. Okay, so what I loved about this episode is that it started off with a confrontation between Joyce and Carlton that was all about whether or not Carlton had cast an evil spell. And it went on for like many minutes, like maybe 5 minutes, like a serious two adults having a conversation about whether or not an evil magic spell was cast on one of their husbands.
Oh, my God. And then she's like, don't be so flippant about my religion. What is that? Flippant, you know? I'm not flippanty. Oh, my God. I mean, look, good for you for knowing two languages, but I'll bet she's just as bad at Spanish.
That's why she got bullied. That's why they called her Joyce, because she didn't know how to say her own name.
Jose.
Jose.
This show has really just... I mean, it's the worst. I mean, let's get some rich bitches back on this show and get that Carlton and Joyce and Brandy and who else? Kim's not really doing anything either. Like, why do I want to watch her get a fucking tattoo? Get out of here. Recast.
So Michelle and I watched it last night together, and we played this great game that I think everyone should play from here on out, which is before you start watching, you rank who you think are from stupidest to smartest – the smartest housewives in Beverly Hills. And then as the episode plays out, it's fun to see how the rankings change, because they definitely do change over the course of the episode. We went in with Kim was the stupidest, and then in second to last place was Carlton, followed by Joyce. And that was very contentious, because Michelle was really...
I would say Joyce... Joyce,
I know, but I was pushing for Carlton because I think Carlton is very, very, very stupid, and she doesn't always even realize how stupid. She thinks she's smart, too. That's the problem. How could you say that someone who says, I had a dream that you're talking shit about me, and who does that? How can you say that person is third stupidest? They're
because
second
the other one invented an entire pageant called, like, the best, most greatest, most wonderful girl in the world pageant. Like, shut up. That doesn't even make sense. And also, I love that Carlton's so stupid that she misspells her own child's name.
Yeah, see? That's why Carlton is the
second.
You're
right, it's tough.
It's a fun game. And then at the top, I think we had Lisa was the smartest. And I think it goes Lisa, Yolanda, Kyle, Brandy. I think that was the order.
I hate to say this, but I think it would go Lisa, Kyle.
That's what Michelle was saying.
Because Kyle's an asshole, but she's not stupid. Yolanda's stupid. I mean, Yolanda, like, tries to act like she's smart, and she's a fucking bitch. She's one of those people who's just an ice-cold bitch, and so you assume she's smart, and that's why she acts better than you. But she's not. She's just some dumb hoe who's learned how to be a bitch. That's all. She's not smart.
That girl is not smart. You do have a point. And Michelle would definitely agree with you on. Well, Michelle was pushing for Kyle to be in second place for sure. I mean, Lisa's definitely first place, and Brandy is definitely right in the middle, you know?
Well, I think we all had a weird moment with Kyle last night, because Kyle's been pretty obnoxious and hateable. Oh, and then she became somewhat likable last night. So let me just finish that sentence. But can I ask you, yes, when did she become Jewish? Because I feel like maybe that was mentioned before, but this year it's like every episode.
Yeah, so it's weird. It's never been like overtly mentioned. I've always noticed the mezuzah on the door at their house. But I think the reason why they like went into it this year is because they knew they had this fight coming up. So
they're like super Jews now. I'm wondering if Steven Spielberg is about to put his house on the market. Because those two are fishing. Those two don't do anything unless there's a commission involved.
I think she saw Demi Moore in Deconstructing Harry and was like, you know what? That could be me. We look sort of similar, so I'll be Jewish. No, that's terrible.
I love her. I love her her version of Jewishness. And at that dinner table, they're like, la, honey, la, ha, la. And she's like, blah, 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 blah. I was like, come on now. Even Brandy knows the words to dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
But that being said, what I liked about Kyle last night was that we got like a return of Kyle from season one, which was the Kyle who was sharp-tongued and did not hold back. And when she was mad, she would like really go on the attack, and you could not stop her. And you kind of like rooted for her when she would do it.
Yeah, because she was a bitch on wheels. And this whole fake thing she's been doing lately, or forever since season one, to get nice tweets about her is just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, Carlton at least did her job and got Kyle pissed.
Yeah, because Carlton – well, okay, to be fair, Carlton, believe it or not, was sort of in the right when Kyle kept on saying, Lisa, tell her, tell her, tell her. And Carlton was like, her, he's my name, Carlton. You know, she actually is right. It is rude to say her. But then
would you ever say that at dinner? Like, Ronnie, stop calling me him. You know my name. Not. That's disrespectful. And then your boyfriend would be like, yeah, you know, it really makes her feel like it really makes Ben feel like an object when you call him him. Like, you know what else makes your wife look like an object? Her fucking fake ass saline size, D-sized tits. Okay. Or the fact that she's had all the body fat sucked out of her and shops at Hustler and tries to maintain some porn star body to keep you happy. Okay, maybe that's what makes her like look cheap and irrelevant. Yeah. Okay,
and whoever posted the picture of Carlton as a California raisin on our Facebook wall, thank you, that was really great. Because it's not that she like, not just that she's like shriveled up and like over tanned, it's that she actually physically looked like the raisin, like they had the same mouth. It's very strange. It's very bizarre.
Carlton kept poking at Kyle until Kyle
Well, she accused Kyle of, like, talking shit about her at her party. She said, you were making fun of my bathrooms. And then they showed the flashback, and, like, Kyle was like, ew, I don't want to go to the bathroom here because someone took a shit in here, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, also, one thing Carlton said at that point was, well, you know, I had some friends who were standing in line for the bathroom, and they heard you saying, no, some producers came up to you and told you that to start shit, just like they always do. Those producers are really, really reaching.
Yeah.
Like, Kyle was making fun of your bathroom because someone just took a poop in there. I mean, give me a break, producers. At least make an effort. Make it good, you know?
Yeah, and then I think from – did she have some other complaints? Then there was, like, the whole joke about, like, the nipple thing came back. And good for Kyle for mentioning that Carlton is all, like, pissy about Kyle making a joke about a nipple when truly at Carlton's party were girls, naked girls in body paint, nipples greeting people at the door.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, Carlton.
Yeah, Carlton is just too stupid to live. She needs to just stop it. She needs to go away already.
So then,
I love that the biggest fight of the season so far has been about shit smell in the bathroom. That's pretty much where this show has gone.
And then it escalated to the tattoo thing about you know, Carlton being furious at Kyle for, you know, as a Jewish person, you should know the difference between a Jewish star and a pentagram. And Kyle's like, I couldn't see all of it. I only saw a few points, you know, like, and you know what? I didn't think that Carlton was being that anti-Semitic, but I know that there are other people who actually did take it from an anti-Semitic place. And it was sort of cool to see Kyle play that card with Carlton. Like, I'm not a fan of always playing that card, but as long as Carlton's being totally ridiculous, why not have that card played on you, you know, and see how you deal?
The thing with Kyle that really bugs me is, like, I liked seeing her, well, everything, first of all. But seeing her be a bitch was kind of fun, but it's the fact that she's not witty enough to just be a bitch when she needs to be. She has to, like, go tell her gays, and then they come up with lines for her that she can use later. Like, well, if you don't want people to ask you if you're a witch, then stop acting like one. It's like, oh, really, Kyle? How long have you had that written on the back of your
hair? I actually like that line. I think it was something like, if you want people to believe in Wiccans, like, you know, stop acting like a witch. Whatever it was, we're butchering it. I like the line. I thought it was
good. But that was a total pre-written Kyle thing. That's what she does. Like, she comes with these, like, little bon mots that she's saved up. It's like, shut up, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, either way, though, Carlton was being totally... totally ridiculous. I mean, I still don't understand why she cared so much. I mean, so the reason why people would think it was anti-Semitic, how she reacted, for those of you who may have been a little puzzled by it, it's this idea that, like, how dare Kyle even suggest that she has a Jewish star on the back of her neck. But, you know, the thing is that this is
That's
a woman who
stupid.
Was across...
She,
you
know, was, though, she was offended because Kyle wasn't recognizing her religion, not that she thought
exactly.
She was Jewish.
I mean, no, I know. That's what I think. But either way, though, this is also a woman who has a cross on her arm, and she has a daughter named Cross, I think. So, like, why is it out of the realm of possibilities that she might have a Jewish star on the back of her neck, almost like it could even be like a spiritual Kabbalah thing, you know? Like,
no kidding. She fucks in confessionals and has sex parties in her bed, which is covered in crucifixes. So, like, I don't want to hear any more from Carlton about being offended, you know, religiously. Shut up.
Yeah. And I don't know. To me, she's just a really stupid leather bag. And
one of my favorite parts was when she was just so ready to yell at Kyle, and she was just so out of control, angry for no reason, and it was so awkward. First of all, the first thing I loved about that was that the husbands and all the men there were so bored.
Yeah,
they were like, here they go, these fucking women yelling at each other. They are just so bored at this point that it's hilarious to watch. The second thing I loved was Carlton's big stupid fake accent.
Yeah.
Don't you come on me. I was like, don't you come on me? That is the first time she's ever said that in her life.
I believe the word was come on.
Come on. But her accent's so stupid. Like, don't you come on me. Like, honey, if people didn't come on you, you would never have gotten to the position in life that you've gotten to, okay?
I know, with your, like, wannabe porn star husband.
Just do like you've always done, pretend it's rain, and thank your lucky stars, okay, honey?
No, it was honestly one of the most ridiculous fights of all time. But I'm glad that Carlton was on the receiving end of, like, I'm glad that Carlton lost. I mean, she obviously lost. And eventually Kyle just is like, fuck this, and I'm just changing seats, you know. You know, she should have known better not to start up with Kyle, because you know Kyle was going to be in a bad mood because there was no Fatburger at this party anywhere. So she should know better than to start up with Kyle on a night like that.
Also, I love that Kyle changed seats to just sit by people who would stick up for her, because she still kept it going. She changed seats, and then she's like, oh, hey, Carlton!
I think she was, like, exasperated, because you know what? I would be, too. I think everyone was on Casa. Even Brandy. You know, this is the sort of thing that Brandy loves to get involved with. She's like, oh, people are fighting. Let me, like, throw in some awful, like, sentiment about black people in the middle of this, and then make it about me. But instead, Brandy was just, like, hanging out. She's like, ugh. She's like, Carlton's wrong.
Yeah. Yep. Brandy's storyline. Look, if Brandy's storyline is just going to be that she gets so drunk that she makes someone think she's racist, I mean, that's really not enough. I can't watch a show about some woman who's way too young to not be able to move her face. Like, seriously, she's entering Kirk Douglas territory. She looks like she's had a stroke. And yeah. I can't just watch her, like, go to photo shoots and, like, look at leases. Like, what the fuck?
Do I know, something. Although I loved her publisher. I loved her bitchy publisher who was, like, ordering around the gays. And you can see the photographer and the stylist, you know, they were so not happy that this little, like, woman who looks like that, what's her face from The Office, came in with a dog and started telling them, no, I don't like that. I don't like that. No, this looks terrible. That looks terrible. You can see the gays, they were, like, just bursting with passive aggression. But they lost out.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were stupid. They're like, well, she's telling a rolling pin because she's the mother and she's a wife. And she's like, yeah, but that's not the book I'm writing. All right, the book I'm writing and putting Brandy's name on is about fucking people. Okay, get the rolling pin out of her hand.
Yeah.
Get the pan out of her hand. I love that. Like, Brandy's writing a book, please. We just saw Brandy's writer. And she wears ruffled plaid flannel shirts.
Yeah. The other thing that I liked in the episode was, Kim and Kim and Kimberly getting matching tattoos to go away to college. This was definitely a page out of the Sheena book when she got matching tattoos with her mom and Azusa.
Oh, God. Hey, let's get something. Let's go get a tattoo. It's like, Kim's the only person in the world who sobers up and then gets a tattoo. Like, everybody else gets wasted and then gets a tattoo. It's like she's doing everything backwards. Next week, Kim enters the first grade.
She's going to give a tattoo to Kingsley. It'll be like, here's a butterfly that reminds me of our love for each other, Kingsley.
Developmentally, she's Benjamin Button.
Let's see, what else? So Yolanda...
Oh, no, I'm not done with that part. I love that she's, like, getting a needle stabbed in her arm, and her daughter's like, does that hurt? She's had enough practice. Okay, move on. Kim's like, yeah, been here, done that. I'm not feeling anything yet. I'm going to crawl around the floor and look for some bags.
She's like, this magic marker really hurts.
When I die, I want to come back as a butterfly. That they die in like 5 minutes, right?
She's like, I want to be born a butterfly and then become a caterpillar. Does that work that way? Because a caterpillar is like, it's like that book with the caterpillar on it.
Yeah, I just want to be able to build my own blanket and wrap myself up on it, and then I can come out and be a butterfly.
I want to be in a cocoon because I really like cocoa, and that's what they have in cocoons, right? Cocoons? Cocoons? How do you spell that? Is that what a thing is? Kingsley!
Kingsley! What else happened in this stupid episode?
Yolanda helped Gigi pack for college. It's like, when is this girl going to get to college already? Like, every episode is like, well, you know, like, Yolanda... sorry, I started doing Alexia by accident. She's like, well, tomorrow Gigi is moving off to college, so I've made her paintings. And the next episode is like, well, Gigi's going to college tomorrow, so I got her a comforter. The next day is like, Gigi's going to college tomorrow, so I made her a playlist on iTunes. It's like, when is she going to go? And so someone mentioned it on Facebook. They're like, loved how like Yolanda entered Gigi's room with a giant thing of like bubble wrap, like this girl's moving. Like, seriously, just put some clothes in a box and your laptop. Cares? And she
can
done.
Buy she can buy all new clothes when she gets there. Jesus Christ. She doesn't need to take all this shit. She needs a U-Haul for the paintings alone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I love that Yolanda's
frenemies.
Yeah, I love that Yolanda's like, well, you know, it's so damn it, you know, stupid Alexia sticks in her head.
You know, Yolanda sounds very much like Peter, you know.
Well, it's so I'm so sad to see her go, but I'm really glad that I've given her all of the skills she's going to need to become a very successful young woman. It's like, yeah, she's going to blow somebody and marry a rich old guy, like, within the first month she's there with the skills you've taught her. Yeah, get out of here.
I actually would have liked Yolanda to have been there for the fight at the dinner party with the anti-Semitism. I wonder if she would have had anything to weigh in on about, considering that she's so, like, Aryan-looking. She'd be like, oh, well, you know, like, Germany hates the Jews also. No big deal. By the way, she's neither German nor anti-Semitic. I don't know why I'm making these jokes. I'm like, there's got to be something entertaining in this show.
Well, Yolanda just doesn't show up to shit all the time, and so does... Oh, and I love that Kim didn't show up, and nobody made any comment about that after Kim just had a fucking fit about how Lisa never comes to her events. And then Lisa was like, well, where's Kim? So, in other words, Kim did not call to say she's not coming. What a shock. Yeah,
exactly. And that's like for her brother-in-law's birthday party, too, I'd like to add, as a black tie event. And by the way, you know what I really hate? I hate that it's a black tie event and that like two or three of the guys showed up not in tuxedos. It's black tie, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I'm not going to that party. Especially when you keep serving the same things. Like, I get that you own Sir, and I get that, you know, a lot of the reason you do this show is to promote your restaurants, but all of those appetizers, I've been served at Sir for parties. Like, I'm so sick of that little fucking filet on a toast. Like, come on. Like, do something new. At least get new stuff. Those people are probably sick of eating the same crap every time Lisa has an episode.
Yeah. And by the way, this is a black tie event, and yet in the middle of it you had Kevin Lee shirtless gallivanting in the pool with Jax. Like, that's not classy. That's not black tie. That's the exact opposite of black tie.
I love that Martin is always showing up at Lisa's parties. It's just so funny.
Good to see you all, darling.
I know, they don't even make a point of it anymore. He's just there, and everyone knows it's Martin, the poor guy who was set up with Kim season one.
Martin doesn't even look around the table to watch the fight. He just keeps on eating, like, keeps his head down, like,
life's short, I'm going to finish this while I still can, darling.
By the way, I also loved the oversized painting of Jiggy that was given to Ken. It was such a stupid painting, but it was so stupid it was hilarious.
Yeah. Ken's future wig, Jiggy.
That was like, getting that painting commissioned was like a huge part of the Divine Addiction monthly budget. Perhaps yearly budget.
Poor Pandora and her shawl. So every time I see Pandora, I'm like, poor thing. I don't know why I think that. Like, she's rich. She's rich. She's got a cute gay husband. She's got parents.
There's
who
nothing
love
to
her.
Say poor Pandora about. She's got it all. She's got it all.
But every
she's
time
got a thriving
I see her,
media
I
empire.
I just want to hug her. Every time I see her, I'm like, oh, it's okay. But she's fine. Yeah.
She's like if Lady Edith actually like wound up on top, like Stassi said, why like when the good people wind up on top, and that's what Pandora did. She wound up, she got a hot husband, a lot of money, she's set. Don't worry about her.
Well, I don't know about that, because hot husband's business turned out to be selling sangria that's marketed by Lisa, you know, so who's paying for that? Like, I don't know how much she came out on top. It kind of looks like she's with a possible user.
Yeah, well, that's okay. She should, you know, sometimes there are situations where each person gets something out of it, and he might get the money and she gets to have a hot guy in bed with.
I don't know. I just feel so bad for nice people on TV. It's like seeing an old lady in a crosswalk, you know? You just want to scream at them, you shouldn't be here, but at the same time, you kind of want to run them over just to see what would happen. It's conflicting. Stop going on TV, nice people. You're confusing me.
I'm surprised that Pandy hasn't been corrupted yet. It's gonna happen.
She's kind of getting there. She's kind of getting annoying on like putting her nose in shit on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. What would you tell like Stassi, behave, Stassi. Not now. This is a Divine Addiction party.
Stassi, I'm hiring Sheena to do some eyeshadow commercials for the site, or some eyeshadow articles. If it bothers you, then you don't understand what it's like being a leader.
Stassi, please don't take umbrage when I tell you that Sheena shall be writing a column once every fortnight about makeup. It'll be 200 words long. It'll be a very important journalistic piece.
Daisy! Daisy, what's happening down there?
I wish they could just hire her instead of Rosia.
Okay. So now here's something. Ken said something that was fairly insulting. Did you know? Did you catch this when she said?
Oh, Ken's awful. Yes. Yeah, when, like, Randy went inside.
No. He goes. Well, Lisa dresses me, and I dress Jiggy, and Jiggy dresses Rocio. That was so insulting.
Well, yeah. But I thought it was even I thought it was pretty funny when Brandy came in drunk and Sheena's there showing off her ring. She's like, "Oh, I'm gonna be married." Brandy's like, "Cute, how cute!" And
she's like, "Oh, thanks." Even though I know you're not happy for me.
Yeah, and Ken's like, "You're lucky she doesn't punch you in the face for sleeping with her husband." And she's like, "Well, she can try, but I've got a pretty big ring."
Yeah, and then Randy's like, the whole thing is that I've realized that I just don't believe in marriage. It's just bullshit. But anyway, congratulations.
And you helped me realize that. Yeah. Okay, have fun. I'm leaving on that note. But yeah, Lisa is pushing it with her, being like, you should go talk to Sheena about her wedding. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why would she do that, stupid?
Why? It looks like next week will be interesting. It's the beginning of the end for Brandy and Lisa. We can see that happening.
Yeah. And I hope that means that Brandy's gone. I hope that Lisa pulls a Nene and just gets her ass fired.
No, she won't. She won't. Brandy will still be there.
Ugh, she's awful.
I know.
She's not even awful in a fun, campy way. She's just gross and awful.
I agree. I think her expiration date has been met. She was good the first two seasons, and now...
She is milk that has turned into kefir.
She is curdle. Curdle 3.
So we have actually other Bravo shows to talk about this week because, all our black ladies took a week off. Yes. Real Housewives of Atlanta and Blood, Sweat, and Heels were like, busy, watching football, not doing this. Although ads of Micah losing her shit drunkenly is amazing and I cannot wait until next week.
I know, but Bravo was kind of like... Well, it's Black History Month, so we'll let Black people have one weekend where they can, actually appreciate their accomplishments, not be dragged down by by our representations of Black people. So that's what they – Bravo's being nice. Actually, it's the Super Bowl. But, so actually, speaking of ethnic things on Bravo, we can talk about Shah as a Sunset, last week's episode, which was part one of their Turkey trip.
Oh, God. This part is going to be more. There's going to be more of this. Those people
part two
are
is
so...
tonight.
Fucking stupid. I cannot even believe those people can know how to breathe. Okay, those people are going, they're in Turkey, and they're like, well, it's not Iran, but it's close. Really? So you're going to celebrate that as your homeland? No.
I can appreciate that. I think that there's something to be said if you're Muslim and you live in America to be in an all-Muslim country with, like, nothing but, like, well, you're not the minority. That's a very powerful thing, even for idiots.
Those people... Oh my God! If there were TV watchers in those crowds, they would have all been fucking stoned to death.
Oh yeah, they would
all
have
of them.
100%. Listen, I will say this though. I actually thought it was a fascinating episode. I thought it was interesting.
They're all confused that Mike, the Jewish guy, feels uncomfortable going into a mosque. They don't get it. Yeah. Really? Come on, guys.
I know. Although that being said, I mean, if they were going into just some mosque, then I can understand Mike. I think when you're talking about, like, the Blue Mosque, then that's, like, a huge, like, super famous building.
Well, I think his point was it's the whole experience that kind of ended up freaking him out. I mean, he's absolutely. In a land that wants him dead.
And I recognize that, too. I would not have, like, tried to push him to go into the mosque. I think, I respect the fact that, it was it summoned up some really dark feelings,
Yeah.
But I did find it interesting how they reacted to being in the mosque and what they discovered in the mosque. But most of all, I actually thought the Asa's family reunion was very moving. I mean, as ridiculous as the show is, the fact is, watching her mom, the anticipation with her mom when they're walking through the streets. Like, she hasn't seen her family in 20 years. I mean, that's, like, really crazy thing. And that kind of, like, goes – it's like you step outside of reality TV for a moment there. And it's crazy that she did not see her family for so long and that she was finally getting to see them. It was really beautiful. I thought it was actually, like, a very moving moment.
Yeah, that actually was really sweet. But again, it's the mom who's like the sweetest thing ever, and all the old people. Like, they were really, really sweet. And I actually did get a little...
No, Asa, too. I think
I did get a little... Well, Asa's really not horrible. Like, she's not a mean person.
But... No, I mean, she at least appreciated... I mean, it was... Yeah, I got a little, slightly choked up.
That was sweet, but I'm sorry. I don't know. The rest of them, no. I really like seeing Turkey, but this just made me feel like, you know... It's only one generation away, you know. I have to wonder if the parents look at what they came from and look what they went through, and then look at these fools and wonder why the what the fuck the point was. I mean, come on, you've got. Everything he said this week, I was trying to think of his name, Reza. You know. Oh my God! Oh, this is all about me. Oh, if they knew I was gay, they would stone me. I mean, think about how that feels. But he doesn't understand how the Jewish guy feels. You know, if anybody had Bravo, they would stone you. Like, your gayness is the least offensive of your personality.
Yeah, I like that he says, like, if anyone knew that I was gay, I'm like, Reza, it's all over you. Like, don't act like you're being convincing as a straight man right now.
Like, you've got a dick in your mouth. You're that gay.
Right. That's so Persian to think that you're, like, coming off as really straight, but you're coming off as super gay. Like, my homegirl MJ always tells me that.
Everything he said this week was cue card.
Well, when I looked at MJ looking at the church, and then I looked across the street, and then it's... I was like, oh my God, can you even not... You just can't even come up with anything else to say anymore?
Of course, I'm the one to chop. Listen to me.
Well, tonight he's going to be, they're going to be going, I think, to the border, and that's when he's going to flop down on the ground, and he's going to be like, I am free.
Shut up.
I'm actually really looking forward to this episode. I think it's interesting. I think it's very fascinating.
Turkey's really beautiful. Those people all suck. And I was really hoping that they were going to at least have to cover their fucking faces. I mean, what's the point of going to the Middle East if I still have to look at MJ? Put that bitch under a black blanket with some little eye holes like she needs to be. And I love that Asa's, like, shocked that she has to stand in the back of the church. My God, you guys, come on.
Yeah, I mean, this is your religion, right? You are aware. Like, it's like I wouldn't walk into, like, an Orthodox synagogue and then be shocked that women have to go upstairs, you know?
Yeah. It's like I wouldn't be shocked. It's like me being shocked, like, going to church with my meemaw and having to drink grape juice from the same cup as, like, 50 other people.
It is kind of crazy, though. I mean, like, so as I just mentioned, in, like, very, like, Orthodox or Hasidic sects of Judaism, the women and the men are segregated in the synagogue. The men are downstairs by the Torah, and the women are upstairs. And it's, like, very backwards. You know, it's very, very old-fashioned. But I have to say, in this mosque, though, it was, like, even worse. It was like, yeah, you women, you go over that little corner over there in the dust. It's like, wow, that's rough. That's really rough.
Yeah, that is pretty bad. And then you've got MJ with her gigantic, you know, like gigantic boobs and her whorish face, who's like, well, you know, I really am a Muslim. And it's like, I'm so embarrassed. I'm shameful to say I'm a Muslim. It's like, honey, give me a break. Like, how religious are you? Like, your boobs are in your face. In your country, you would not be able to even do half the shit you do by 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have no pity for those people. They all make me crazy.
Yeah.
But it was cool seeing Turkey, and old people made me cry. So there you go.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the other thing is that Gigi and MJ finally buried the hatchet for good, or at least an episode or two. So...
Yeah, I don't care. Their fight was stupid anyway.
It was a really stupid fight.
Okay, so now let's talk about Top Chef. Wait, first of all, did you watch that new show about Southern people?
Did it premiere already?
It was on late night, I think on Super Bowl night. I guess they previewed it.
They probably previewed it. I did not watch it yet.
No, I didn't either. Darn, I was hoping you could tell me if I should watch it or I shouldn't watch it.
We'll just wait for it to premiere properly.
Okay.
So Top Chef, I am not happy. Not happy because my favorite chef, Shirley, was eliminated, and that asshole Nicholas...
I found my voice! Oh, hello, look, I found my voice. Do you hear me? I found it. My voice like watermelon. Oh, I like rice.
It's like, congratulations, you found your voice. You're still making the same fucking food you were making before you found your voice. Shut up, Shirley.
No. Shirley can do no wrong. I love Shirley. I love the food that she's been making all along. I hate that guy, Nicholas. I've hated him all season long. I started to like him a little bit during the height of the Nicholas Carlos situation, but I really hate him. And you know what I hate about him also? He's the one who says that asshole thing. Every single season, someone says like, oh, you know, Carlos, like, all he does is cook Mexican food. You know, like, there he is again, making Mexican food. It's like, dude, you know, he's Mexican. This is, like, what he specializes in. Like, why should he have to make something beyond that? Why should Shirley have to make something that's beyond, like, her skill set? Like, you do what you are comfortable with. You know, Nina makes Italian. Like, everyone does their own thing. Like, why
should... And you always do terrible... You always do five versions of the same vegetable. So how's that any different? It's always, you always like, do boring study, white people food.
Yeah, like a study in carrot, you know? Like, here's a carrot roasted, here's it boiled, here's it pureed, you know? Like,
yeah. You know how to boil and puree? Ooh, what technique?
I always... is that Martin Lawrence Blood? Martin Lawrence Blood is a guest judge on Top Chef.
Carrot has five ways is fashion.
I buy my carrots at Fresh and Easy. And then I eat them on my couch that I got from Ninja. So, what was I going to say? No, I actually, not to be too, like, PC and awful like this, but every season when someone invariably says that about, like, the ethnic chef, I always feel like there's, like, an undertone of racism to it. Like, I hate to be the one that calls, like, racism or whatever, but, like, it's always, like, the Asian guy who gets, like, blamed for making too much Asian food, you know, or, like, the Mexican or something like that. I'm just like, seriously, shut the fuck up. Like, everyone has their own patterns.
Well, no, because it started on Top Chef, I don't think it is, because it started, at least the first one I can remember, is Ilan, when he kept making, like, what kind of food did he make? It was, like, some kind of Latin food.
Well, no, here's the thing. Because
he learned to make that at his restaurant, and that's the only thing that he was ever trained to make. So he made it every meal. And Marcel kept making that spit foam crap, and he would put foam on everything.
Well, no. I think there's a difference between using the same, making the same sort of dish over and over again. I think, though, you can stay in the, you can make a million different Asian things. You know, I think it's fine. But I think, though, when Marcel always puts foam on it, or, of course, more famously, when Jamie would always make a scallop, you know, like always a scallop dish, that's when it's like, okay, she's making a scallop dish. Or when that guy last season, I think he kept on making pork belly, like, over and over and over again. That's bullshit. But, like, when you, like, say, like, sort of disparagingly, like, ugh, there's Carlos making Mexican food all over again. It's like, no, shut the fuck up. Like, that's what he does. That's, like, his style. Like, he's making different things each time.
Well, I hate that guy because he's whiny. He has rosacea, which means he's a fucking drunk. And so I don't feel bad for him.
Sure.
And, I mean, come on. He has total drunk face. Like, he's that guy would be an extra in Boardwalk Empire. And, like, he's like a homeless drunk from the 30s, all red-faced and shit. Give me a break.
And he's also completely humorless. He's been humorless all season long, and he talks down to people.
He's so droll. Yeah, that guy is really gross. And he's also the guy who's like, I really want to win it. Like, whenever he's in trouble, this is something on reality shows that makes me crazy. Whenever somebody makes a mistake, they start sobbing about cancer, and then that's supposed to make it all better. Like, they weren't crying about cancer before. In his case, it's his daughter or his kid or whatever. He's always, if he does something wrong, he's like, but my daughter, I'm doing this because I never get to see my family. And then it's like, shut up. No one made you, like, be a dad who's never home, like an absentee father. Like, why don't I take this time to feel sorry for your child, okay? I'll pity your child instead of you big...
Yeah, like, what about Shirley? She doesn't get to see her husband, and she needs a new air conditioner. Just, you know, like, everyone has needs, okay?
Yeah, stop crying. Stop your crying. Everybody's got something. It's like, I was watching, this isn't Bravo, sorry, but I was catching up on all my episodes of Chef Wanted with Amberelle, which is like another cooking competition show. And these shows are just getting so ridiculous with everybody and their fucking problems. Like, you can only get on TV if you have cancer, a parent with cancer. Someone's got to have cancer or Alzheimer's or some shit, and you have to cry a lot. And both the chefs at the end of this particular episode, they have to do this thing where they greet the staff and show them what food they're going to be serving that night. And both of them, one of them's like, I was a football player whose career ended early. And then everyone starts crying. And then the next night, the other chef comes in. He's like, I'm doing this for my daughter because I never get to see her. Like, oh my God. When did chefs become such fucking pussies? You used to be badass, you know, high school dropouts and drug addicts. Like, grow a pair and rob a car, you know?
I agree. I agree completely. Meanwhile, Last Chance Kitchen, we had the winner of that. That was Lewis. He made it back, but he then fucked up and was eliminated also this week. So there was that. I'm glad he didn't make it into the finale, because I think that you should not be able to come back from Last Chance Kitchen so late in the game.
Well, I mean, if you beat that many people in a row, I mean, I'm really glad. I guess I stick up for it because I really liked Kristen from last year and was so glad that she came back and won. That was her name, right, Kristen?
Yeah, she was really good, but, like, I still felt like it was bullshit.
Okay, Matt.
No, I... How dare you? How dare you?
I'm just kidding, Matt.
I'm clutching my pearls.
Matt,
no, I think that. It should be... I think you should come back, like, the episode right before the finale, you know? Like, then you fight for your chance to get into the finale. Not, like, not that, like...
Oh, that's true. Like, yeah.
You know, not, like, not, not in...
Not getting to fly to Hawaii or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, I also, you know, I don't like the idea of a double elimination in the finale. I just feel like it's too severe. The stakes are too high for it to be that severe, you know? But maybe
also,
I'm just bitter.
They have a two-part finale every season on this show. And
there was a three-part finale, wasn't there?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
But this one, I want there to be three people because it is really painful to watch that last episode sometimes. Like, there is just nothing going on, you know? It's like, well, here I am, you know, peeling a shrimp. All right, well, I'm going to peel some carrots. What are you doing? I'm boiling some lentils.
No, what I can't wait for is, like, I feel like every Top Chef finale, someone says, well, I'm going to try to sous vide this, which I've never done before, but... You know, I have confidence that it will work out, and my sous chef seems to think it will work out well. So even though I've never done this, I'm going to try it, and then that person always loses. I hate that every single time. Remember when Casey encouraged Carla to sous vide something, and then Carla lost?
She was awful. Casey was the worst. And then she's like, I didn't do that. It's not my fault. I'm not.
She's like, I'm the hot one.
Casey's also the one. Isn't she the one who served everybody chicken feet that she like left in the oven too long? Oh
no, that's... no, like not long. They're like chewy, and I don't know. Like they didn't get tender. And she one time said, "Well, I feel like I have a guilt blanket thrown on me, or something like that." And I was like, "What a strange turn of phrase."
And she was, I think she's one of those reality show contestants who was like, "Well, you know, everyone assumes because I'm pretty that I can't cook." It's like, oh God, no one assumed you were pretty.
Yeah. Right? So she said something like that. There was one time where she said, like, I guess like I'm the quote unquote hot one here, so they think whatever. And I'm like, wait, what? No, that, like, it literally had never even crossed my mind. Like,
that's like waiting in line for a ride at Disney World or Epcot Center and being like, I'm the hot one here. Of course you are. Everyone else is on a fucking scooter. Like,
I think
raise your standards.
There's only, I think, ever been one hot female chef on Top Chef, and it was this season, that girl Janine. The Australian blonde one?
Oh, she wasn't hot. That
what
girl,
are you talking about? She was hot. She wore too much makeup. She was part of like the hot people purge in the beginning of the season.
No, I wanted to be friends with her so I could be like, you need less foundation. You look ridiculous. You don't need bright red lipstick. No, I don't think so. She looked weird.
I thought she was hot.
So what else happened on Top Chef? I'm just really sad that Shirley finally found her voice and then had to leave. That's really sad. And Tom showed up with a really douchey, what is that hair thing you have?
Oh, right, he had a soul patch. He had like a little soul patch.
Gross.
Really
which
bad.
Really, that makes me think that all the rumors about him boning Padma are true. And he gets a trip with Padma and gets his little vagina tickler grown out.
Yeah. Well, she's speaking of hot, they showed the previews for this week, and Padma's walking around in a bikini, and it's like, wow, if anything can come close to converting me, it's going to be Padma.
Yeah, Padma is really beautiful, and I especially love the way that she judges, you know, like the way she announces things.
I know, I love it.
Because it sounds like she's just poorly reading everything.
Well, she's like, we're going to need everyone in the room.
Nicholas, we were really disappointed with your rice this week.
Nicholas, what have you made for us today? What have you made for us today, Nicholas?
Nicholas, I really love the balance of the mayonnaise. Like, shut up.
Shirley, please pack your knives and go.
I found my boy, but I found my boy.
I wonder if Emerald's going to hire her. Oh, Emerald's another one that just cracks me up on this show. Because... I don't think Emerald knows where he is half the time. He's just he's so relaxed and like whatever. Like, well, you know.
That was a really interesting. That was like a Reza from New Orleans. I think
You know, see, these guys, they try real hard, and they come out with things. And you know, this shrimp, you know, this got some rice on it, and it's got some spice. I taste some cilantro in there. I like it. And then Tom will be like, no, I didn't like it. And he'll be like, yeah, I know what you mean. Me neither.
I like when Tom gets, like, really persnickety about something. Like, remember the episode once, like, many seasons ago where someone made Coco Van and they used, like, a chicken instead of, like, an old hen. And he's like, but it wasn't a hen. It wasn't a hen. No, that's not the point. It wasn't a hen. It's got to be a hen. If you're going to serve us Coco Van, it's got to be a hen. And it wasn't a hen. It wasn't a hen. It's like, Tom, relax.
I like when that really bitter Alia chick went off on Tom and accused him of using, like, processed foods at Kraft.
Yeah, that was...
That was really good. And then he confronted her at the end.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder how Nick is doing. I mean, I wonder if people are, like, if people have really turned against him and are going crazy against...
Well, I think people were on his side during the Carlos situation. But then after Carlos...
I wasn't.
No, people, because Carlos, they made Carlos look like an asshole. But then as people start to remember that, no, Nick is the asshole, all those little polls on TV were against Nick. Because he basically, ever since he served up that dish that caused his team to lose, but he had immunity, and so someone else had to go home. And that was like his third time in a row being in the bottom and skating through. People would be like, you know what, we hate this guy. And he's always like in the bottom and skating by. He's like Mike Isabella. Remember how Mike Isabella got really
gross.
And like All-Stars. He was like, and he made it really far, and then in the finale, he suddenly like upped his A game, and you're like, no, don't let Mike Isabella win this. Please don't.
Yeah. There was another winner, actually, who was like that. He ended up winning. And he was a chubby guy with glasses. I think he was Hispanic.
Oh, Kevin. Yeah, Kevin, he, like, sucked. And then he wound up winning.
He was terrible. And then he wound up winning the whole thing. I was like, oh, no.
That was a situation where, like, yeah, he just, like, sucked. He was sort of, like, very average. He was always middle of the pack. And then he somehow won that last challenge. But then I think there was a lot of pressure on the show because they were like, there hasn't been a black winner of Top Chef yet. And I think that, I mean, I don't want to be like that.
Do you watch The Taste?
No.
Okay, well, whenever there's a cooking show, whenever I'm watching Top Chef, I get fucking obsessed. I'm always cooking things, I'm always in the kitchen, and I'm always watching cooking shows. So I'll watch whatever's on. And right now, The Taste is on, and I can't get enough of that, so I'm also watching The Taste UK, which is the same judges, but, you know, not here. And it's just so funny to me how different the contestants are. Like, here, everybody's, you know, they got their cancer stories and, like, dying children stories. And there, they're just, like, kind of these, like, low-energy, normal people. Like, well, you know, I'd really like to win this contest, but if I don't, I understand. It was really uncooked, and I don't blame them if they just tell me to go home right now. I mean, it was bland. It was terrible. You know, and they're all, like, kind of fat and dumpy and pasty. I love it. And then even the judges have to act differently on the American show. You know, on the American show, they're always screaming and yelling and having a fit. And on the British show, it's like classical music is playing. And they're like, let's talk about this deeply.
I think that sounds great. It sounds like Antiques Roadshow.
It's really, really good, actually. And you can watch it online, guys. So just look, watch The Taste UK online. And you'll be able to find it. It's really good. It's not on Bravo, but it's a cooking show, so whatever. Shut up. I want Nigella to judge Top Chef, I guess.
I know. She's great. All right. So I think we're out of Top Chef things. I think there's nothing left. I think we're done with the podcast, actually.
Okay.
I think it's over.
It's over. Bye, you guys. We're quitting. Next, we're starting a podcast about malls. That's it. We're giving up on Bravo.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can find me at B-Side Blog on Twitter and Instagram and Vine. And Ronnie writes really funny recaps of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And that's at trashtalktv.com. And you can find him on Twitter at trashtweettv. And please like us on the old Facebook. Watch What Crappens. Facebook.com/WatchWhatCrappens. Super fun. Lots of good stuff on there.
Yeah, come on and play with us, you guys. And don't forget to get your GoDaddy domain name for $3 with the password Crappens.
It expires this week, I think, so...
Yeah, hurry, do it this week, hurry, run,
if you don't
hurry.
Do it now, it's going to cost you like $9 or $10,
so... Yeah, run, people.
Run, do it, make your site.
Okay, everybody, love you, mean it, see you next time.
To the insurance company that did me wrong. I've moved on and I'm happily insured with another. Bless your pea-picking heart. It was just never meant to be betwixt us. You gave me automobile insurance apprehension. And Geico has come along and in just 15 minutes given me new car insurance and made me as jubilant as a newborn lamb in springtime. And Paw has given Geico his approval. That's one thing you never had. Joyful with another. Clara May in Columbia.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.